I don't know why I said we have the health report, because Tuesdays are when we make a community connection with State Senator Brad Hawkins, and it's all brought to you by Caldwell Banker Lake Chelan Properties, the leading real estate firm in Central Washington. Good morning, Senator. Great to have you.
Good morning, Jeff. Well, thanks for having me. Well, I can give you a health report on state revenues and budgets, because that's what's happening over here in Olympia.
Well, I wish you would. I think we just heard a cut word yesterday. There's been a new revenue forecast. It's not looking good. What can you tell us?
Yes. So basically every quarter, the state has a revenue forecast council that produces estimated revenues for the upcoming 2 and 4 years. In the budgets that we develop, the state are 2-year budgets, although there is a 4-year outlook that the budget writers budget on. And so we're always looking at revenues expected for the upcoming 2 years as well as the full upcoming 4 years. And over the past several budgets, I would say going back 10 years, there is actually, we've been very fortunate in the state of Washington to experience a lot of revenue growth, a lot of growth in our economy. And most of our revenues that support the state budget are sales tax. About half of the revenues in the state come from the sales tax, so purchases of goods and services. And I know people in Chelan Manson know a lot about the sales tax, because that's a key part of your economy as well. Mm-hmm. But over the last 10 years, the state budget has really grown, and that has allowed the state to add programs and expand things and do all sorts of things. But the growth is really projected to be diminished over the next 4 years. So, for example, over the last 3 budget cycles, we had 18% growth, 15% growth, and almost 21% growth during the last 2 years. And over the next 4 years, dropping down to 2.4% growth and 7.1% growth in the 4 years. And so when you look at that and you compare it to the inflationary factors that we're experiencing nationwide, it's actually projected to result in less revenue than we had anticipated, to the tune of about $800 million over the next 4 years. Hmm. Now, the state budget's going to be much, much larger than that, but still $800 million of less than projected revenue over the 4-year period is not a good sign for the state of Washington, when over the past decade, it's always been more revenue than expected.
Hmm. Wow. Interesting turn of events. Now, how does that affect budgets that are now being released? Does that impact them at all?
Well, then that's starting to make folks nervous. So the budgets are starting to be unveiled now in the legislature, and some of those budgets build in a little bit of capacity, because you're not exactly sure what the House and the Senate and the governor and what you can ultimately agree upon. But I think the Senate is expected to release its operating budget proposal this week, the Senate Democrats. The House Democrats are finalizing their budget proposal now. So I think their budget proposal may take into account this most recent revenue forecast, but I'm not sure the Senate Democrats' proposal will have enough time to account for that. But the current state budget is about $64 billion for 2021 to 2023. They're expecting about $66 to $67 billion total for the upcoming 2-year period in revenue, but they have some carryover from the previous budget of reserves that weren't totally spent. So it'll be interesting to see what the budgets are proposed as the Democrats release this week and next week, because they may be something less than what was originally expected. You may recall the governor has proposed a budget. He proposed his budget back in December, and I think he proposed a $70.4 billion budget. That would be a significant increase over the current $64 billion budget. And so I don't believe the governor's budget, based on these recent revenue numbers, is going to come to fruition. So I think that budget writers are going to be scrambling a bit. And then what does this mean for the state of Washington? Because what the economists are saying is that we're experiencing less growth. We have rising interest rates in the United States, and that will essentially slow our economy. We're not necessarily actually losing revenue in these projections, but it will slow the economy as such. And with the interest rates and inflationary factors, it will result in us being able to do much less than we had anticipated with our budget. So it's definitely played into it. But we have three budgets. We have the operating budget, and this forecast is a key factor for the operating budget. But we also have two other budgets, the transportation budget and the capital budget. And those two budgets are not as impacted by the revenue forecast as the operating budget is.
Okay. And I guess that with this turn of events, taxpayers who are hallucinating that they might get some of their hard-earned money back, that's probably completely not even an idea. No.
Well, I don't believe that'll be happening. Yeah. certainly we do have, even with these forecasts, we do have sufficient revenue to do things like that. Mm-hmm. But I do not believe that is the priority in any way, shape, and form of the majority of people that are serving in Olympia and writing these budgets. So unfortunately, that is not something we can do. My hope is that we can still at least approve reasonable budgets that make good investments in the state of Washington, but also hold back an adequate amount in reserves so that we can weather a potential economic downturn, if that is what potentially is upon us. It could be we experienced a decade of revenue growth and strong economy. We might be entering into a little bit of a flattening out period in the state. And the best way to protect ourselves from that is to not spend everything that we have and have a healthy reserve account. And I hope that this budget that will be developed will do that. But if the past budgets are any indication, we usually don't do that, and we usually spend to the edge. And that concerns me given the economic indicators.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that the transportation budget, for example, isn't going to necessarily be as impacted by some of these revenue forecasts. And as a member of the Transportation Committee, do you see that your projects, like, for example, the Confluence Parkway, are you feeling fairly confident about that?
I hope so. You know, the transportation budget is largely based on certain transportation related fees and license plate costs and gas tax revenues, and people are beginning to drive more now, and so we don't anticipate the transportation budget being affected. We did recently approve last year this $17 billion long-term 16-year transportation investment package statewide. And in that package, we were successfully able to get included an $85 million placeholder for the city of Wenatchee's Confluence Parkway project, which also includes a second bridge across the Wenatchee River. So if you think about Wenatchee's geography, you have the mountains all up against us on one side. You have the Columbia River up against us on another side. And then you have the Wenatchee River, which is a tributary into the Columbia. And so essentially the city of Wenatchee is on a geographic island, so to speak, with these geographical barriers all around us. We really need a second route across the Wenatchee River, especially if we ever needed to evacuate the community or something like that. Mm-hmm. So we got $85 million identified in this package last year for the project, but the package is a 16-year collection of projects. And so now all the legislators are kind of in a food fight trying to figure out how can we get our projects identified. And the goal for the Confluence Parkway project in Wenatchee, since we have federal funds that we're matching at the federal level, we're trying to get the funding identified over the next three budget cycles. So in 2023, out of that $85 million, we need $28 million identified for this upcoming two-year period. And then in 2025 to 2027, we need $47 million of that $85 million. And then we need the final installment of $10 million in the years 2027 to 2029. So if you think about a lot of these transportation projects, and Confluence Parkway is no exception, but you can't build it all in one budget cycle. You actually have to schedule it out. And in the case of Confluence Parkway, it's scheduled to take about 5 to 6 years, budget-wise. Mm-hmm. And so we need that $85 million identified at the right times. And that is what, that is my most, one of my most significant transportation priorities right now this session, is to get that Confluence Parkway funding that we've already sort of have, get it identified properly at the proper times.
And surely your fellow committee members take into account those federal funds that if they don't get the matches, they will go away.
Exactly. And that's my key message, is Congresswoman Kim Schreier worked very hard for us. We got this federal infra grant. We're one of only a handful of communities in the United States that got matching federal dollars. So let's not leave those federal dollars on the table. And because we got the federal dollars and because we got the state dollars to kind of combine with that, we do have enough money to fully complete this project. And sooner rather than later is ideal for that. And obviously, we do not want to risk losing those federal dollars. And so that's why I'm hopeful that we can get this done. The governor's budget did, governor's transportation budget, identify Confluence Parkway with these years. So that works out really well. Thank you to the governor and WSDOT for that. But the legislature, House and Senate, are proposing transportation budgets. And I feel like if I can get this identified in the Senate budget to match the governor's budget, then we should be good to go.
Very, very good. Well, lots still to come. We've still got until the 23rd of April. So you've still got a little more than a month to go. You feeling strong?
Yeah, it's about four more weeks. And yeah, I think so. It's kind of like running a marathon.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to have some juice left in your tank for the last few miles. And so I hope that I'm ready. I'm not rested, but I think I have enough in me to kind of get some of these important things across the finish line for us. And it's an honor to serve in this position. And I thank all the KOZI listeners for giving me the opportunity to do so. And if people have any questions, you know, feel free to call my office anytime or reach out to me on my website. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good session for us regardless. And I know Rep Steele and Rep Gaynor are working hard on a lot of things too. And so together for the 12th district, hopefully we can have a lot of positive things to show.
We appreciate it. And we do thank you for your time and making another community connection. Senator Brad Hawkins, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Always great to be with you.